Good morning. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm Twanda Black, and joining me this morning, Keith Wonderboy Johnson. He is one of the ultimate and, you know, really our recent and up-and-coming, what I call young quartet. He is young quartet, yet old spirit, but young quartet. And we have just been enjoying his music so much. How are you this morning?
Good morning, Ms. Black. I am great. It's just a blessing when we are 6 feet over and not six feet
under. You got that right. Oh, my goodness. First of all, tell us about how you got the name Wonder Boy, how long you've been singing. Tell us a little bit about your background.
I've been singing. I started singing when I was 5 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I woke up one day. And I was 45.
Wow.
So I've been singing 40.
So you woke up.
And how I got the name, it was popular for a little boy to sing with a quartet group at that time. Mm-hmm. And they would always say Lou and whatever their first name was. But my dad, Phil Johnson, and Johnny Martin, God rest his soul, he was the manager of the Mighty Clouds of Joy. And I was opening for the Mighty Clouds of Joy. And he came to my dad. He's like, I'm going to adopt him as my godson. And he said, but we got to think of a nickname for him. We don't want him to be Little Keith. So then they came up with Little Wonder Boy. And that's how I got the name.
Wow. Did you know at an early age this is what you were going to do?
I did. Mm-hmm. I wasn't the normal kid.
Okay.
I knew because when I was in starting from like first grade in kindergarten, when we used to have playtime.
Mm-hmm.
When we used to be drawing, instead of drawing Star Wars like the other kids and the spaceships, I used to draw like the stage. I used to draw the instruments that I would see at the concert.
Oh, wow.
The speakers, mm-hmm. the microphones, the drums. I would draw that, and then at home, I had my parents gave me a drum set. So I literally used to be downstairs in my basement, playing the drums, and then I'd take the drums down and put them on the bed and pretend like I'm on the bus going to the next city. So at a young age,
wow.
I was practicing in my mind. So then as I became an adult, I stopped singing, and I graduated from college, and I was working on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just hit me one day. I said, you know what? I'm not that type of person. So I didn't want to be my age now. I didn't want to be wondering what would happen if I would have really pursued my music, which is my passion.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, you know what? I'm young. I don't have any children. I could take a risk.
Yeah.
and that's when I started my musical journey.
That's an amazing story. You you had the wherewithal to know that this is not for me. A lot of us, because of the money, will stay in something even though it's killing our spirits. And we'll just stay there to make the money.
Well, that's how I was on Wall Street.
Mm-hmm.
The wake up call for me was I was working, and then they took a pause, told everybody to stop.
Mm-hmm.
And we were celebrating my manager, which is my boss, birthday. And he was like, I want to thank y'all for helping me celebrate my birthday. I never thought that I would get to see 50 years old. I'm happy to be 50. But I looked at him. He didn't look like he was 50. I thought he was around 65. So I was like, no, I can't be stressed out, underpaid, and no.
Okay.
I'm gonna go with my passion. What made me, you know, what made me happy.
Wow. And you know what? That's so true. Sometimes you look at people and you go, wow, you look like you really had a hard life. This job is killing you, right? Oh, my goodness. So you hit the road. Are you singing with your dad, or you doing solo career by that time?
Well, no. By that time, we were still singing locally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we would go to South Carolina maybe once or twice a year.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go to Connecticut and New Jersey. But that's about the most traveling we do. The rest, all of us in, like, the five boroughs in New York. So I just came to my dad and said, say, Dad, it's time to expand. And what really happened, my producer, my godbrother and my producer, Spanky Williams, he was the lead singer for an R&B group mm-hmm. called Men of Vision, and they were on Sony, they were on Michael Jackson's label. And they were out, and they were on tour, and they had a problem. Because I was actually working as the roadie of the group, and they needed a new member. And so the manager, my godbrother was like, no, not Keith, because he wanted me to stay with gospel. Mm-hmm. You know, and he was like, no, not Keith. So the manager knew me. So he like, well, Spanky got a godbrother. He can fit right in. He can sing. He got the look, everything. So they was like, okay, put him in the group. So then Spanky was like, no. No. So then I just saw the limelight. So I just wanted to be like, okay, I'll sing with the group. Mm-hmm. So then I just told my dad, I was like, okay, I got an opportunity to get with this group. It's not really what I want to do, but I want to do gospel music on a professional level. Mm-hmm. So then my dad said, you know what, son? I'm going to pass you the mantle. You take over the group, and I'll be the overseer. And that's when I pursued. That was the first year. After that, I went to the American Quartet Convention. Mm-hmm. Then I went to the GMWA, and that's where I met Kerry Douglas.
All right. Your career, and it kept going. Yeah,
and I literally, during that time, I auditioned for every record label at that time.
Really?
And I got turned down by everyone.
So who took you up?
Kerry Douglas. Worldwide.
Yeah.
We met in a strange place. We met at a white, humbling story. We met at White Castle.
Oh, wow. That's phenomenal.
Cincinnati, Ohio. That's when the GMWA was there, mm-hmm. and we officially met there. And he was saying, "Yeah, man, I have an independent label. We're growing." And I said, "Well, I do know you know how to promote," because he had this. It was ugly to me. This purple sign, but we were seeing that purple sign
everywhere,
plastic mm-hmm. everywhere. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I was like, "Well, you need an artist." And I need a record company. Let's do it. And then the Lord blessed us.
What was your first hit song?
High Behind the Mountain, which I'm celebrating 20 years this year. High Behind the Mountain, our first CD, Through the Storm, with the hit single, High Behind the Mountain, came out March 1998.
Do you know we're still playing that song? That gospel music. Because that's what I love about gospel music is that it lasts forever. No songs get old. You know, they last forever. And we're still playing that song.
That's why I call my record company Timeless Music. Because that's what I feel about, especially traditional quartet mm-hmm. music. Once you have a hit song, it's timeless.
Forever. Talk about some of the challenges, though, of especially being young. I'm enjoying the young guys that are coming out doing quartet. They're tearing it up. I'm really enjoying them. Talk about some of the challenges of coming up through the ranks the way you did.
Well, you know, it's always rough when you're a trendsetter and, you're an innovator. So I had a lot of challenges. So a lot of things that young men get to do, young women get to do now, I had to pay the price for it. So, you know, when I came out, I was just, you know, it was just, oh, he's just a quartet or whatsoever. So, you know, I had to go against all the stereotypes. So I was like, listen, no, I'm not young. I'm not wearing any, you know, nothing against. That's what they did. But I'm not wearing no yellow, red, lime, green.
With the shoes to match.
I'm not doing that. So, you know, I had to set the trend fashion-wise. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they wanted to send me, I'm telling you, used to be so. I used to sing for like First Baptist mm-hmm. or whatsoever, and I would come with like a blazer, a shirt, jeans, and dress shoe, which is normal attire
now. Right.
But when I wore it, oh, they were sending me to I can't believe he
blasphemy, right?
Yes, with these jeans on. Oh my God.
Oh my, and it, look, it's so past normal today. Oh my goodness. Yes. So past normal. That's funny.
I remember a story, God bless his soul, two people that used to really be like legends that used to pick with me mm-hmm. all the time. Mm-hmm. God bless the day, Reverend Howard Slim Hunt.
Uh-huh.
He used to always, every night, he would just make sure he come up, what is that you got on? What is that? And then one night, we was in California, Huey Williams, lead singer, we call him Uncle Huey, mm-hmm. from the Jackson Souvenirs. He was like, what is, that's a velvet jacket? Come here. He took his chain off and put it around my neck. Mm. You need to flash that up. You're not dressing it. Come put this on. I told him, give me one of them big rings.
So don't give me that necklace. Give me a ring. Yeah, some money. Worth some money.
but see, because I always looked at. I was the type. I told you, I was not your typical kid.
Yeah.
But besides Muhammad Ali, the quartet singers and which are legends now, those were my heroes. Your Joe Lagan, Willie Neal Johnson, Harvey Watkins Jr., the Wham brothers, mm-hmm. Dixon Hummingbirds, all these guys, those were my heroes. So if they had action figures,
you would have had those,
dogs,
right?
I would have had those.
Yeah. That is so funny. And how are you making sure that I think staying relevant in this changing course of music? It's changing a little bit. Even quartet is changing a little bit. Like I call them the new quartet. It's changing a little bit. And so, like, I host a lot of the quartet concerts here in Atlanta, and it's amazing, though. Young, old, middle, don't matter. People love quartet music.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I try to keep it, and I try to stay right there on that middle line mm-hmm, where I try mm-hmm. to go forward and create new, but I don't forget about what we came on in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So I've always been a type of, I give opportunity to people who don't normally get the opportunity. So when I was coming up, I felt people didn't help each other. Like, you know, established artists, they didn't help the upcoming artists as much as they should.
Mm-hmm.
So I had made a promise. I had said to them, you know, I was just talking to the Lord one day, and I promised, if you bless my ministry, I will always be the type of person to give back
mm-hmm.
and help. So I've behind the scenes, I've helped a whole lot of artists, you know. I don't name them and trying to mm-hmm. get no attention mm-hmm. for it, but I just do a lot. Like my CD, I have so many guest musicians and guest singers on there. And believe it or not, the common denominator, they might be doing great things now, but they started in quartet.
Yeah.
Like, you know, on the song Angels, I had a young man, Jay Vito from the Hamiltones.
Oh, he's
and,
good,
Tony, mm-hmm. two of the guys from the Hamiltones are singing on the song,
mm-hmm.
but they started in quartet.
Yeah. Well, you could tell when you hear their sound. I got to see them at the Stellars. They were phenomenal.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the song Testify, I have Sean Hinton mm-hmm. playing the guitar on the song. That's Mary J. Blige, lead guitarist, and he's the assistant MD.
Wow.
You know, and Mary J gave him about, if you're going to see her in concert, he played about 10 solos before that night is over. And when I called him, because the Lord has spoke to me, he said, when it comes to the Father, you have not because you asked not.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started calling my friends. And when I called them, he said, you don't know. I've been waiting for something like this for the longest because quartet is my root.
Yeah.
And he was on tour. And they had a studio in the back of their bus.
Mm-hmm.
He went to the back of the bus and did his part and then sent it.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Then I have a young man, Tyrone Jackson. He wrote the song, The Man.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the song, produced it, everything. Now, this young man is special to me because I gave him an opportunity. He started touring with me. He was from Goldsboro, North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have anything on his resume, but that young man could play that guitar.
You gave him a
chance.
And
I gave him an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So after about 6 months with me, I told him, I said, I already got the vision. I said, we're going to remain brothers, but you're just going to be with me for a short span of time to get the exposure.
Right.
And once you get the, then you're going to move from on in. And we still stay connected after all these years. He's the guitarist for CeCe Winans. He plays for Donnie McClurkin. He plays, but he's not just that. He plays for After Seven on tour with them. You know, he's legendary. So
wow.
He also played country and western. He's, you know, so God has blessed him. So I just use young men like that. And then I went back to the very beginning. I reconnected with my godbrother, Spangy Williams. And he's the one who co-wrote and produced Keep Pushing with me. And
your new single. Your new single, yeah.
So, you know, sometimes you got to circle back around the block.
Oh, yeah.
Retract
from
things where you started.
Well, you know, I love that today, in the industry today, that gospel is reaching across the way to secular artists, to country artists. It doesn't matter. They're reaching out to who's talented and who's going to add and probably, as believers, add to their project.
It does. There's always room to expand. I mean, you look at it like, you know, you have some people that, you know, have their comments about the Snoop Dogg project.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to look at how many people who he's bringing
back around to gospel. Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes. Many, many more than we probably could have with what we're doing right now.
Yes.
He has God had him do a special thing. And so, and he knew what he was doing. God does not make mistakes.
So,
Keith, your new single is Keep Pushing, but your new project is Keep Pushing and Keep Pushing. And it's coming out when?
It's out now.
Oh, it's out now.
Stores now.
Yeah.
Now. It's in Walmart. It's in every digital outlet. In any retail store, any place you can get good gospel music, period, it is there. So I need everybody listening to me, lottie-dottie everybody, to go to the stores now or go to your digital outlets and download the album. Keep pushing.
We love it. I remember when I first heard the song. I said, oh, that's a jam right there. So
well, we got some more surprises on there when you get the whole album.
Can't wait to hear it.
It's some things. Now, if you like good, we have a little bit for everybody.
Can't
we have
wait
those
to
strong ballads. And
yes.
When you like the toe tappers, we got some things that's going to make you, we got some gym music for you.
All right,
make you move.
I like that. I like that. Keep pushing. How can they find you on social media?
They can find me on Facebook. It's Keith Wonderboy Johnson or Keith Wonderboy Johnson, Roman numeral 2. Instagram, you can find me at Keith Wonderboy Johnson. Twitter is at Keith Wonderboy J. And even the people that just starting out, you can contact me you can email me at KeithWonderboyJohnson@gmail.com.
All right. Also, Keith, you are celebrating a birthday on May 17th, so happy birthday in advance.
Wow. How do you know that?
I'm a journalist. I'm supposed to know that. Happy birthday in advance.
Yes, thank you so much.
And you're still young. You're still a young man, as you say.
I tell them that. That's the new thing. I'm a young man trapped in an old man.
Oh, my gosh. Keep bringing us great music. We appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us, Keith Wonderboy Johnson.
And I thank you for all you're doing, not just for quartet, but for gospel, period. And you keep doing what you're doing, and I really appreciate this opportunity.
All right, keep pushing.